Galloway and Company on 1033ESPN.com.
The text toy, 71755. That's for instant communications and communication and comments here to the GAC family. And that family today includes Ian Fitzsimmons. It includes Matt Mosley. Of course, we're always happy to have them. We're in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll take this thing until 6 o'clock. Kirk Herbstreit, he's on the immediate agenda. King of College Football. And Brent Celek, tight end, Philadelphia Eagles, and a guy that Mosley now ranks ahead of Jason Witten as far as the best tight end in the game. And Matt does that because Brent Celek spoke to him on Sunday. And then Matt.
It's not Matt, true.
Anybody who says hello to you is your new best friend. Now it's Brent Celek.
You just keep watching this Celek. And I didn't say he's the greatest tight end in the league. Don't attribute that to me.
He is a good player.
Jason Witten, startup kid.
Okay, moving on right now. Let's bring him in. The king of college football. It is Kirk Herbstreit. Hello, Kirk.
All right, fellas.
All right. Here's what I got for you today. We're going to lead it off with this. This announcement just came down.
Uh-oh.
The BCS and the NCAA had suddenly became manly today. The announcement, all bowls have been blown up. Starting the first week in December, there will be a 16-team playoff. I said manly football, like it's played high schools in Texas, like it's played throughout the land. A 16-team tournament. Mr. Herbstreit.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah, that's breaking news that only I know about.
Yes. Now, on ESPN Dallas.
Yeah. 16-team tournament. That means four regions. Your number one seed in those four regions would be Texas, Florida, Alabama. But who's your other number one seed, Kirk, right now?
You guys won't like this, but I would put the Oregon Ducks coming out of the West Coast.
No, I do like that. And I, by the way, that's a loaded question because I heard you talking during that game Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you were showing much Oregon love.
Yeah, I kind of like their offense.
All right, yeah. Now you know what? We were talking about this yesterday, Kirk, and I said, at least in the Pete Carroll era, I have never watched a USC team and said, man, they look slow.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
you're right.
That's how fast Oregon looked in that game. Okay, but here's the problem you've got. How, Kirk Herbstreit, can you possibly ever put Boise State behind Oregon in any kind of setup, including this ongoing BCS crap?
No, I typically, you know, like last year when OU and Texas got into their heated debate there, I kind of held on to Texas being ahead of OU just because of Texas beating OU head-to-head, and to me that was kind of a difference maker. But if you understand that scenario, that's apples to apples, you know, because it's Texas and OU in the Big 12 South. This is a different scenario, and I love Boise State, number one, and it's not like I'm saying that they're not a great team.
It's un-American not to love Boise State.
Exactly.
I'm serious on that.
I'm with you there.
Right.
I'm with you. So we all love Boise. We all love Chris Peterson and what he's doing. The only reason I think this is definitely worthy of a discussion is how far Oregon has come from week one to where they are now. And they could lose this week at Stanford, and this is a moot point. But if they continue to play the way they have the last 5 weeks, where they're blowing teams out of the water, good teams from the Pac-10, dominating them, then I think it's worth a discussion at the end of the year, where strength of schedule and playing, you know, against top-notch opponents is worthy of putting us into a discussion to say, okay, if Oregon plays Boise State right now, even though Boise beat them head-to-head, who would you give an advantage to? And I think most people would probably agree did Boise beat them head-to-head, and that's good enough for me.
And beat them good, too.
They did.
I watched that game.
19-8, you know.
Beat the crap out of them, really.
Yeah, except for that left hook that LeGarrette.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's to me, that, there's such a story there. I mean, Oregon loses. They don't look very good. Their star player punches another player. He gets suspended for the rest of the year. First-year head coach in Chip Kelly. You know, they struggle against winning at home against a very bad Purdue team and a Utah team at home. And from that point on, they're beating teams like 56-3 and 42-6, and what you saw against USC is the team that they've been for the last 5 weeks. So if they continue to progress the way they have these last 5 weeks, and then, like I said, I think they're one of the top teams in the country, no matter who they lost to or who they beat. That's just a fact.
Kirk Herbstreit here with us at this time every single Wednesday on 103.3 FM ESPN. Herbie, on that note, best conference in college football, top to bottom, who is it and where would you put the Big 12?
I always put the SEC at the top, and I don't care that this team's having a bad year or they're not. It doesn't matter. The top conference in the country every year, because of the type of defense they play, is the SEC. That's end of discussion.
That surprises me. I thought you'd go Pac-10.
No, it's the SEC still, because of the way they play defense, and there's such an emphasis put on their defense. After that, then I put the Pac-10 right there. And I think the thing, and I don't know about in Dallas, but I know that around the rest of the country, when you get to the north and to the east, nobody has an appreciation for the Pac-10. Nobody really watches the Pac-10. I can't tell you how many people came up to me who were forced to see USC and Oregon and said, man, that Oregon team, I tell you, Jeremiah Masoli running the option, looking good. You know, it's like the first time they've ever even heard of Oregon. And, you know, and meanwhile, Oregon and Oregon State and, you know, Arizona plays pretty good football. I mean, there's some pretty good teams out in the Pac-10, and especially when it comes to quarterbacks and receivers and skill. So I would say top to bottom, I would put the Pac-10 right there. The Big 12 North is worst football I think I've seen in 30 years of college football. I mean, collectively as a group,
amen,
they are putrid. I mean, I imagine coming. I got to come to Dallas in early December, and I got to call the Big 12 championship game between Mack Brown trying to get to a national title and what, Iowa State, Missouri. I mean, who's coming out of the North? So as much as you'd like to say the Big 12 is a great conference, when your Big 12 North is still part of the conference, you're really hurting yourself top to bottom. So I would say that probably the Big 10 would probably fall in line, maybe third.
Oh, my gosh. That is the worst insult in the world. But you may be right, Kirk.
Yeah, that's how bad we are now in the ACC and the
Randy.
Big East. I mean, the ACC and the Big East, they're not a whole lot better. I would say, you know, and I've been probably as brutal on the Big 10 as anybody in the last 4 or 5 years. But I would say that I'd probably put the Big 10 in there third. And after that, it's just a free-for-all. I mean, until the Big 12 decides to get a few first downs, you really can't include the Big 12.
And speaking of the North, you brought it up, Bo Pelini.
And by the way, now that's true. I mean, nobody can deny this as much as I love the Big 12. And by the way, Kirk, the South outside of Texas, and now that Sam's gone down and everything that's happened in Norman, hey, the South isn't that good.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma is still a good team. I mean, I still think if you put Oklahoma, think about the losses that they have and considering what they've faced. If I put Oklahoma in a bowl game against a lot of their, Oklahoma is not going to lose by very many if they lose at all. In fact, I bet you, I love to look forward to Landry Jones having all these games under his belt. They're going to go to a bowl game and they're going to win because they still play great defense. And Oklahoma State's defense has improved. They still have Zach Robinson. Even without Dez Bryant, they can score points. So, I mean, when you look at Texas and OU still, and then you got Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, you know, depending on the mood that day, depending on if they decide to show up, they could be a decent team and be competitive. And, you know, there's outside of that, I really don't know what's going to happen with the Big 12 North. I mean, seriously, who do you guys see coming out of that division that's going to try to make it down to Dallas?
I don't even look. Because I don't care. I don't. I mean,
it's sort of irrelevant.
I
heard that Texas is going to scrimmage for the title, ones v twos.
I mean, it's awful.
How about Texas A&M?
Well, and you know what?
They're going to represent the North.
If there's one team he's had a little bit of trouble with, it's Kyle Field and Texas A&M.
Yeah, and I cannot see Texas having trouble there. But the Aggies, I'd already call for everybody to be fired, starting with the AD, by the way. And then the Aggies have shown this little spurt, but that may be a spurt that goes right back to what we're seeing and what we've been talking about. That's where the Big 12 is right now outside of Texas. Matt?
This Bo Pelini, you brought up the North. What's going on with Nebraska? Early in the season, it looks like, okay, this might get back to being the old Nebraska. And then suddenly they're going on the road in Waco. And God love Art Briles and what he's trying to do down there. But, I mean, yeah. They struggled mightily in the second half. I watched the whole second half of that game. What's going on with Pelini? Because it looked like he was about ready to turn the corner there.
Yeah, quarterback play is a concern. Their offense is that. I think that's the area where they're struggling the most, where it's pretty obvious their defense can keep them in games. But their offense is just not doing anything. And I mean, think about the turnovers and the Iowa State game and what they did in that game, losing 9-7 against Iowa State at home. I mean, that's Nebraska. Getting shelled by Texas Tech at home. I mean, there for a while, it looked like they picked up the pieces. Tough loss against Virginia Tech. Wasn't it like the last play of the game? And then they came back with a couple wins. And then it looked like, okay, they kind of righted the ship. They're going to be okay. And then they get beaten and embarrassed at home twice. And like you said, at Baylor, not even though they pulled away and won 20-10, it wasn't like it was a pretty victory. Now they have to play Oklahoma, which we all remember, was it 42-0 at halftime, I think, last year. So, you know, even with the injury that Oklahoma has, Oklahoma's going to be ready to go, and they're going to pulverize Nebraska.
Ooh, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, and then it comes down to, you know, Nebraska trying to beat Kansas State, and Colorado to get to a point of being 8-4, and that's a large assumption based on anybody who can lose to Iowa State at home can definitely lose to anybody else in the conference. So I don't know what's happened other than to tell you that their offense is definitely not been able to perform up to, I think, what a lot of people expected from him.
Kirk, I'll close with this. I've got your answer. I had to think about it, and then it hit me. Your answer on who represents the Big 12 North in that title game against Texas in December?
Yeah.
TCU. Just came to me.
I would love it.
Thank you, Kirk.
I would love that.
I know you would.
I mean, and
yeah, I would
Frogs,
too.
We might be down in Fort Worth next week on the 14th.
Oh, Utah.
If Ohio State loses in Happy Valley Saturday,
oh, wow,
then I think we're a good chance that we're going to be heading there. So
national love, baby, national love.
Absolutely.
For those Frogs.
Lucky here. They deserve it. They're playing great football.
All right, Kirk, we await that. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, guys.
Hey, Herbie. Yeah, Herbie. Kirk Herb Street, the king of college football. And by the way, that's some game day respect.
That is a little bit of love to TCU.
I have not said
love.
Anything in 2 weeks about the Frogs because they're not playing the right people. But when Utah comes to town, watch that one right there. And we're right back with this question. What Roy Williams said at Valley Ranch, and does it mean anything? Oh, I don't know. Let's talk about it.